Hosea chapter 5. The Lord says in verse 15, I will go and return to my place till they, speaking of Israel, acknowledge their offense and, notice the next three words, seek my face in their affliction. They will seek me early. In their affliction, they will seek me early. Let me say it again. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. Today we want to talk about seeking the Lord's face. Seeking the Lord's face. Turning toward Him and seeking Him. And today when we talk about this, there are five things that I want us to see. Five places in the Scripture where you see the phrase, seek His face or seek my face. These things all have to do with our relationship with the Lord and that personal aspect of our relationship with the Lord where it is between us and Him. In this passage of Scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ is letting us know that in the case of Israel, they had an offense. They didn't acknowledge what their offense was, but they had an offense, and that offense had affected their relationship with the Lord, and more importantly, the Lord's relationship with them. And so He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do this. I'm going to go and return to my place. Well, when He says, I'm going to go and return to my place, you get the idea, you get the understanding that at some point they were closer together, and now at this point, God's going to say, I'm going to go to my place. We know His place is heaven. I'm going to go to my place, and until they turn, until they acknowledge their offense, and then when they seek my face in that acknowledgement, okay, then we're going to get back together. And He says, in their affliction, they will seek me early. In their affliction, they will seek me early. Now, some of us have already had some time with the Lord. And we can remember a time in our lives. I certainly remember a time in my life where there was distance. And then there was affliction. And then during that affliction, there was a change, right, in my attitude toward God, and I began to seek Him. During that time, then, I had to acknowledge, okay, this is the thing that I have been doing that caused this distance between us. And it was at that point that I sought the face of the Lord, and things began to change in my relationship with the Lord. How many of you know what I'm talking about? See, a bunch of us already know what I'm talking about. But let me say today, what if you haven't had a relationship with the Lord? What if you have not yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You may have gone to church. You may even pray or say prayers. You may look in the Scripture from time to time and even be attending to the words of what we're talking about. But you haven't come to a place where you and the Lord are really together, where you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. May I tell you something? Sometimes the Lord will allow you to go through something hard in order to get your attention. He will let you go through something to wake you up and to help you to understand, wait a minute, I'm doing something that is an offense to God. I can tell you, many people that have come to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior have this testimony, that they were living their lives in a way that was reckless, in a way where sin was prevailing, and all of a sudden their lives began to cost them something. Something went awry as a consequence of their sin. And it helped them to understand, wait a minute, this thing that I'm doing, this is not right. And it caused them to turn and look toward the Lord for help. Or maybe it wasn't even a consequence of sin. Maybe it was a health thing where they suddenly had to stop the busy life that they had been leading and all of a sudden just look up and say, oh God, and recognize, you know what? This is the first time that I've really turned to the Lord. And in this, I realize that there is something going on between me and the Lord. I remember distinctly being in the hospital one day with a fellow whose son had been in a major wreck. And the father was standing there, I guess like a lot of parents do, thinking this wouldn't have happened if I hadn't been in the place where I am right now. It was certainly going through his mind. When I came over and took him by the hand and prayed for him and was just there to be a comfort to him, to give him an opportunity to speak, he turned to me at that moment and said, I think this is the result of, and he named the sin going on in his life. I think this happened because of what I've been doing. You know what he did? He acknowledged, whether it had or not, he acknowledged that there was an offense in his life, and it certainly caused him to look away from what he had been doing to the Lord and seek his face. You know why he did that? Because he's getting ready to ask the Lord to intervene on behalf of his son, and he realized there's a great distance right now between me and God. I don't feel right running into his throne room asking him for help in a situation like this after what I've been doing and thinking that maybe even what's going on here is the result of my sin. It is good, but it is so hard. But I'm going to tell you something. God wants us to acknowledge our offense. That causes him to go and return to his place. That puts distance in our fellowship with the Lord. Now he said, if you're saved, he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And he won't. But there is that break in fellowship. The Bible says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. That fellowship gets affected by what we're doing when what we're doing is an offense to God. I mentioned to somebody the other day that was wanting God to help him in a bad situation. And I just simply asked him, I said, how much time have you been spending in the Lord's book? And he acknowledged, he said, I haven't been in that book for weeks. And I said this, you know, I said, the thought probably should come through your mind right now. Why should God urgently answer my petition when I haven't been listening to what the Lord's been saying to me? It's like the Lord would say, why should I be listening to you when you haven't been listening to me? You see, that's what went through his mind. And he realized, that's an offense to the Lord. He said, I'm to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So turn and face the Lord. Many of you read the proverb of the day, and we're in the first day of the month. And so if you read Proverbs chapter 1 today, you recognize in there the very thing we're talking about. The Lord is reproving the simple. He's reproving the scorners. He's reproving the fools. And he says, turn you at my reproof. And they wouldn't do it. And then later in the proverb, he says, and all of a sudden now they're going through distress. Now they're going through destruction. And now they turn to me and they say, oh God. He said, I'm not going to listen to them because they didn't listen to me. Oh, you don't want to be in that place with God. If you sense that there's any kind of a growing wedge between you and God, acknowledge your offense and seek his face. And I would say to you today, if you're here and like I said, you have not had a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you haven't trusted him yet, right now the Spirit of God is making that plain to you that there is something missing in your life. I have something you don't have. the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ here that you don't have. And listen, if you recognize because of your unbelief or because of maybe selfish living that you have an offense against God, turn to Him and seek His face. May I tell you, when you seek the Lord, He will save you. I can't tell you how many times I've heard testimonies, and repeatedly, I still hear them. I just heard one within the last 10 days of people who say, I was in such and such a case, and I prayed specifically. People say that, Lord, I don't know what to do at this juncture. Will you please give me wisdom so that I can know what to do? And I'm telling you, within 24 hours, somebody showed up in their lives who knew Jesus Christ with either a testimony, a Bible, or a tract that immediately caught their attention and realized God just answered my prayer when I sought Him, and then God directed them to a place where they could find the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I hear testimonies like that all the time. And I'm just telling you, if you will seek the Lord's face and acknowledge your offense, He'll be there for you. Now you say, but I can't see Him. Don't worry about that. What you want to do is you want to visualize that you are now looking at Him or looking in His direction, wherever that may be in your orientation of life, that you're not now looking at all of this going on around you. You're simply looking at the Lord. You visualize that you are in a face-to-face meeting with God. Listen, I know you know how to do that because whenever you've gotten crossways with somebody and you start having that conversation with them and they're not even in the room, well, now if I say this, now they may say this, and I'll tell you if you say that, then I'm going to say this, and you say that, and I'll tell you what, this is what I've been wanting to say to you the whole time. You have those conversations already, and they're not even in the room. So don't tell me you can't visualize a face-to-face meeting with God whom you've never seen. You can do that. You look right there, and here's the thing. It's like this. Hear every word that He is trying to speak to you now that He's got you where He wanted you. Listen, any of us that have kids or any of us that remember what it was like to be kids, you remember that day? Look at me when I'm talking to you. Remember that day? Okay, that's what He's trying to tell you. Look at me when I'm talking to you. There's something going on in your life that's not right. You turn to me, seek my face, and admit that this thing is what has caused separation between me and you. And I don't know whether you're lost and you need to do that now, or you're saved, you need to do that now. You and God have got to get back on the same page here. That's the first thing. And he, that distance you sense, and people have said it to me many times before, I feel like there's a million miles between me and God. That distance you sense, He put there for a reason, because He wanted to get your attention. And now that He's got it, seek His face. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. This is a very, very common verse of Scripture. Even if you don't know your Bible, you have probably heard this verse quoted or seen it on a plaque somewhere, or perhaps it was on a card somebody sent you. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14. Again, it's addressed to Israel. But look what we can learn from it. 2 Chronicles 7, 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Here it is. And what are the next three words? Seek my face, watch it, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. All right, so here's the second step, if you will, in seeking God's face. Not only does the Lord want us to turn to Him and acknowledge the offense, but He wants us to turn from our wicked ways and start going in His direction. Look at it again. Humble themselves and pray and seek my face. So in the first place, they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. Now you've sought his face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So the Lord, listen, the Lord doesn't want you to stay in the thing that caused the offense in the first place. Once, you know, what will happen to us so often is we turn to the Lord, we seek his face, and we go, yes, Lord, you're right. This thing I have been doing or thinking or saying is what has caused this separation between us. But I'm coming to you now, Lord, because I'm in this affliction and I desperately need your help. And all of a sudden you realize God shows up and begins to answer your prayer. You know what happens a lot of times? Once you are out of the hot box, right back to the stuff you were doing that caused the problem in the first place. I've seen it over and over again. You know, in the Bible and in Psalm 107, for instance, God relieved them of their affliction and they went right back to their sin. And God relieved them of their affliction and they went right back to their sin. Have you ever read the book of Judges? I was just reading through the book of Judges and there you go. Israel gets right with God under Othniel, and then all of a sudden they go back and they start worshiping Balaam and Ashtoreth. And then God raises up a man like Gideon, back to idolatry. Raises up a man like Samson, back to idolatry. Just back and forth. You see this going on and on again through that book. Why? That's how it is in life. God doesn't want you to go back to the thing that got you in the place where you had to turn to him in the first place. Well, I remember years ago, I had a fellow that came to me when I was in the banking business, but I was already serving the Lord and the cat was out of the box. And other people knew it, kind of the rumor started spreading. The guy's lost his mind or something because I got very zealous. Being older, I was zealous for the Lord and I was trying to redeem time that I'd been goofing off and running from God. And so all of a sudden, this guy came to me and he goes, I heard you. Would you pray for me? I said, sure. What do you need me to pray for? He said, I'm getting ready to have open heart surgery. And I made a vow to God, if you'll get me through this, I'll be in church every Sunday. Okay. And I prayed for him. And he got through that surgery. And guess what? He never darkened the door of a church. Say, why? He got out of the hot box. And went right back to what he'd been doing before. God doesn't want that. If he gets you out of the hot box, and he will, he intends for you to turn from the wicked ways that got you in that place in the first place. You know, you need to get a good look at Jesus Christ at this juncture where he says, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. You say, well, how will that help? The Bible tells us in Isaiah 52, right before that great passage on the suffering servant, in Isaiah 53, that the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, his visage, what you could see, or he wasn't comely in the first place. No comeliness that we should desire him. He wasn't a handsome man, just ordinary, nothing special, not like the TV evangelist today. Sequins, dyed hair, whatever. I don't want to distract you from the message. He wasn't that kind of guy. But let me tell you, the Bible says that his visage, his face, was so marred that he was not recognizable. They hid their faces from him. It was so abhorrible to see what they had done to his face. You know why he did that? He did that to pay for the wicked things that you do that cause separation between you and God. That's why he did that. And you ought to turn and take a good look at that face as much as you can imagine what it looked like and as much as he would give you some impression of that. And realize the price he paid in his own body to bear those sins. You won't stop. I'll grant you, the sins of addiction, and the habitual sins and the besetting sins, they are monsters to get out of your life. Once people start getting into that drug world and those drugs take a hold of them, that's one of the most difficult things they'll ever have to quit. I've even heard people just talking about trying to quit smoking. They'll just say, it's one of the hardest things I've ever had to do in my life, and some never do. I'm just telling you, that's one of those addictions, drinking or alcohol or drugs or pornography, or go on the list. Once that stuff gets in there, it roots itself in where it is not impossible, but nigh impossible to break. And I'm telling you, one of the things that really would help you is to seek His face before you turn from your wicked way and get a good look at what His face looked like the day He paid for your sins. And it might convince you, I don't ever want to do that again. I'm telling you, if you ever experience one of those rude awakenings in your life, they're life-changing. So some of you were careless with something in your life, and all of a sudden, and it may not have even been a sin. It may have been the way that you handled your weapon when you hunt, or something that you say carelessly, or the way that you drive, or any kind of thing like that. And all of a sudden, some enormously scary thing happens, and you're like, you know what? I am never going to do that again. And you never do it again. Because it was so shocking to see how close you came to disaster when you did it. Well, I'm just telling you, if you could ever get a good look at that face and you see how horrendous He looked when He was paying for your sin, it may be just enough for you to say, listen, if that's what it took to pay for this, I ain't going down that road anymore. Because it's so shocking. It's so truly awesome. But not only that, you also need to see His face of victory. The Bible says when He went to that cross, there was joy that was set before Him. Yeah, I mean, it was horrible what He went through. He sweat in the Garden of Gethsemane, as it were, great drops of blood. But on the other side, on the resurrection, there was a joy set before Him that allowed Him to have the courage and faith to go through that experience. And I would say that's the face of joy. His face of victory. He when He was there on the cross, He triumphed over the devil and all the principalities and powers while He was up there. Nobody can defeat Him. And the Bible tells us we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Don't you believe that? Then get a good look at that face of victory. You know, when you watch something that you watch, some sort of competition, whatever it may be, and you're there, maybe you've even experienced the very joy of the victory yourself. I'm telling you, you watch the radiant smile on somebody's face when they succeed, and they're like, "Wow!" And you get kind of, if you even got any emotion in you at all, you get kind of excited about that. You know, you kind of woohoo, or jump out of your seat or whatever because of that radiant look of joy on their face. All these years leading up to this, and I finally did it! Woohoo! And everybody in the crowd just can't help but applaud. They get excited about it. You know what? You need to see that face of victory and understand that is the victory that can be mine against this wicked thing that I'm turning from. And then you need to see the face of His intercession. You know where He is right now, according to Romans chapter 8, is He's there in heaven at the right hand of God, and he's praying. And you know who He's praying for? He's praying for you. And you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and me. He's praying for us right now. His children, He's praying for us. You know why? Because He knows what it's like to live in these bodies. He's already been tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He knows what we're going through, and He's talking to His Father about it right now, trying to get you some help. And you need to see that face. Have you ever seen the earnest face of somebody occupied deeply in prayer? Maybe you've been in a hospital waiting room and there's a really tough surgery going on and you've seen two people over there holding hands with their heads bowed praying and you see the earnestness on the face. That's not just a casual little prayer meeting. They realize desperately they need God right now to get involved in this thing or that person on that table might die. You ever seen that face? Times 10, times 100, times 1,000 would be the face of the Lord Jesus Christ beside the throne of God right now interceding on your behalf that you'll pull through this thing without returning to your wicked ways. Seek His face. Seek His face. Acknowledge, okay, all right, this is what it is. I'm seeking Your face. He'll talk to you, but you're going to have to pay straight attention to Him. And then He says, and turn from their wicked ways. You turn from those wicked ways when you see those faces I just mentioned to you. Psalm 27. If there's anybody here without the Lord Jesus Christ today, I pray what we've said about what He went through for your salvation be enough to convince you today. If He was willing to pay that price for my salvation, the least I can do is receive His gift. I'm telling you. Psalm 27, this is David, a man after God's own heart, the king of Israel. Psalm 27, verse 8. He's speaking to the Lord. He says in verse 7, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me." He's praying. He's praying. And what does he say in verse 8? "When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger." He's praying. He's crying with his voice. And he says, "Lord, when you said, seek my face, my heart said, thy face, Lord, will I seek." So we're talking about the progression of your relationship with the Lord. It starts with acknowledging that offense and seeking His face and acknowledging that offense anytime it may come up in your life, even after you get saved, and seeking His face and turning from those wicked ways. And then this one, seek His face in prayer. Seek His face in prayer. In other words, you know, Daniel, I won't ask you to turn there. Daniel, when he's praying in Daniel chapter 9, he is desperate to get an answer from God. And the Bible says, "I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting, and I prayed." You know what? So much of the prayer we pray today is not earnest. And I have to admit, when it comes to just saying, the blessing over food and asking God to bless the food, I'm not looking at His face. I'm peeking at the food. I know what's getting ready to happen. Dear Lord, thank you for this food. Please bless it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, let's go. I feel a little bit like the waitress one day we got ready to pray. We said to the table, there's, I don't know, 10 or 12 of us. Okay, it's time to pray. The waitress said, "Oh, can I pray? Can I pray?" I said, "Well, sure, yeah, you can pray if you like. This I've never happened before. Please do." We all bowed our head. She said, "Amen, Brother Ben, dive in." Okay, in Jesus' name, okay. Our other prayers need to be a lot more earnest than that. But I'm telling you, so often, you know, we just kind of like, okay, do I really need to mention all these names to you, Lord, that we're praying for to get saved next Sunday? Or, you know, here, you see the names in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go. Not trying to shame us. I'm just telling you, it ought to be a lot more personal than that. Because we're talking to the God of the... Wow. Remind me, we really got to change this. Excuse me. What y'all don't know is this microphone thing here is disintegrating, and it just disintegrated all over my notes. Oh man, you ever heard of a prayer closet? What does that sound like to you? That sounds like a private place, doesn't it? Like a place that you go and shut the door It sounds small. It sounds intimate. It sounds like a place where there are no distractions. You know, these things right here. For those that can't see, I'm holding up a cell phone. And these things right here, these are very distracting. Because here you are, you're reading your Bible, and all in which everything seems to be a distraction. There are noises outside of your door. There are somebody's playing a radio or a television in another room. There are notifications coming to your phone. There are thoughts in your mind. There's somewhere you have to be. There's something you got to buy. All these things going on, and it's really hard to seek His face. You say, why would I do that? Because when you pray with God, listen, you want His undivided attention. And you know what? He wants yours. He wants yours. Psalm 105, verse 4. Psalm 105, verse 4. Fabulous psalm. Let's read verses 1 through 4 so you see the context. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, verse 1. Call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Watch it. So he's already giving thanks in verse 1. Verse 2, sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of all His wondrous works. So he's thanking Him, he's glorying Him, he is singing unto Him. Verse 3, glory ye in His holy name, let the heart of them that rejoice seek the Lord and His strength, seek His face forevermore. Right? We sing a song, Face to Face, right? In that book, in your hymn book. Seek the Lord in your song and praise. We have a hymn book. Right here. And you know, when I'm here and I've been working on Sunday school, working on sermon, and I'm seeing you, and I'm standing over there at the microphone, singing a little bass, with the song that's going on, and I see your faces, and I think about what you've been doing this week and what I'm getting ready to do when I preach. It's hard to get into the words sometimes. Did anybody else ever feel that way? Yeah. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise. And I don't really think of myself being encamped along any hills of light. I'm not in it. I'm just singing it. And the ones we know the best, we seem to have our heart in the least. And as you're like, what? I've been thinking about this for quite some time. What is the remedy? How do I get my mind and my heart so that I'm not distracted by what I've been doing before I got here, what I'm going to do when I leave here, and what you've been doing, what I'm getting ready to do when I get in this pulpit? And I know what the answer is. It's in verse 4. It is, seek the Lord and His strength. Watch it, seek His face evermore. You see it? If when you take this hymn book, you are facing the Lord, and you are getting ready to sing these words, not just singing them, but to sing them to Him. And some of you may be doing this already. I mean, some of you got these hymns memorized, and they're down in your heart and up in your mind and radiating on your face. And I thank God for you. I just wish I was that guy. I'm not. But I want to be. I want to be. And I believe the thing is that we get in here and we now are seeking His face. And this word coming out of my mouth to this tune is directed to you because I want you to know in this corporate environment of believers that I want you to know that I'm singing praise to you, I'm giving thanks to you, and I'm bringing glory to your name. So when we sing the hymn of invitation today, just forget that you're, listen to the voices. It's like a choir, but your contribution is among theirs, all directed toward the Lord God. I want you to hear my voice, dear Lord. I'm seeking your face. And you know what you would want to imagine is the glory that radiates from his face, knowing that his people that he saved are bringing honor and glory to him. That's what you want. Seek his face in thanks and praise. And then finally this, 1 Chronicles 16, verse 11, back in the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles 16, 11. You want to stay out of trouble? I do. You want to stay close to the Lord all the time? I do. Then here's what to do. You may be thinking right now, preacher, that's 5 points. I couldn't probably remember all these. If you remember to seek his face, you remember everything you need to know about this sermon. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 11. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Continually. Seek his face continually. Keep your eyes on the Lord. You don't want to just turn your eyes to him when you come in here to praise. You don't want to just turn your eyes to him and look at his face when you're in your closet praying. You don't want to just turn your eyes to him when all of a sudden there's something you've been doing in your life that offends him, or you're turning from wicked ways. You want to get your life going where you're looking at him all the time. You're seeking his face all the time. You really do. Where this is a constant thing where you're like, how can you follow him if you're not looking at him? And he said, follow me. You said, but I can't see him. Yeah, you can. In the spirit of your mind, renewed in the spirit of your mind, you can envision, if you will, the Lord Jesus Christ before you, and you can see his face. You know, when you're having a conversation with somebody close to you, like a spouse or a child or a friend, how much easier it is to have a conversation when you're looking at each other eye to eye, right? For sure. So this conversation with the Lord, this behavior with the Lord, is just you and you're just keeping your eyes on him all the time. Not too long ago, I saw a documentary on the Blue Angels. I'm impressed with what they can do. And they have a formation with four of the jets. The Diamond, you've seen it in pictures. Maybe you've seen it live. Do you know how close they are to each other when they are flying that formation? Those wing tips are 18 inches apart. When they start the season, they're only in that season 1 year, then they go on, the next group comes in. But in that season, when they start, I think they've got 40-something shows, 41 shows if I'm not mistaken. And while they're going through those shows, they practice and work that diamond and they get closer and closer and closer. And by the time they get to the last show or two, they got it perfected where they are flying that formation. 18 inches, tip to tip. That's an amazing thing. That's impressive. And you see that jet number four lodged right under this jet here, these two on either side. They show those from the cockpit. It's like, that is just phenomenal. You know how they do that? Eyes fixed. Eyes fixed on that tip or on that number or on that letter on the wing. Fixed. They can't do it any other way. You know how we ought to live our Christian lives? Fixed. Eyes on the Lord all the time. All the time. See, all these world's distractions, you know, beauty is vain. There's a lot of vanity out there in the world, but he's not vain. Eyes on the Lord. Eyes on the Lord. Recently, I had the opportunity to be in California preaching, and one of my dear friends was one of the preachers that was there. We had several meals together and some good fellowship. Andrew Soche, 87 years old, still serving the Lord and preaching. His sermon, keep the Lord ever before your face. In other words, what I'm telling you, here's a man at the end of his race. And he's telling you, you want to know how to finish this thing right? Keep the Lord ever before your face. Seek His face. Continually. Continually. And you'll stay on track. You see, that little thing you read in there, seek my face, you read over that, He means that. Sometimes we're like, well, I can't see you, but I'll see you one. No, He's talking about right now. You get out of whack with God, acknowledge your offense and seek His face. You having trouble turning from it? Seek His face and turn from those wicked ways. Remember what it looked like when He got beaten. What it looks like for Him to have victory and you too, for Him to be interceding for you. Seek His face when you're in prayer. Let those distractions go. Seek His face in song and praise. And seek His face continually. You know what? He'll be pleased and you'll be pleased. And I have a sincere feeling that what happened to Moses when his face shone will happen to you. Your countenance will change and be evidence. You've been looking at something otherworldly. You've been looking at Jesus Christ, and it's showing up on your face. And He can see it. And your brothers and sisters in Christ can see it. And those who don't know Christ can see it. And that's what God wants. Father, thank You today for instruction out of the Scripture about seeking Your face. I pray that You will help us all. Not only just take what we've heard and say, okay, well, there it is. But do something about this. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. It may be today that you're here without Christ. You never even thought about seeking His face. You were just kind of living out a religion thing. May I tell you something? You don't have to leave here the way you came here. Many of us have come here and gotten saved, and we're here because of what Jesus did for us. So I'll ask you right now, is there anybody right now? I'm going to ask you. Nobody's looking around. I'm going to ask you this. Are you here today without Christ, but you want Him before you leave here? If you do, you raise your hand right now, please. We're glad to sit down with you and show you out of the Scripture how you can know for sure you're saved. But you need to let me know, so when I'm waiting out there in the foyer, I'll know to visit with you after the service. Anybody right now, you raise your hand and say, preacher, you're talking to me. I'm the one that wants Jesus Christ today. Anybody? Okay. You're here today and you found yourself along this place, and the development of this sermon, you found yourself in there somewhere. At one of those points, and God spoke to you today and let you know, hey, I'm trying to get your attention. Seek my face. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but may I tell you something? If you just acknowledge that God spoke to you today and leave, it's not going to have any effect on you. But if you recognize, God, you know what? You have spoken to me directly in this very area of my life. I want to change that area today. You know what you ought to do? Seek His face and start making that change right now. I realize it may take you a long time to change it, but you got to start somewhere. I would invite you at least to make an altar out of your seat, but if not that, more importantly, some of us, do much better if we can make our way out of the distraction of our seat and up to this altar where we can talk to God without distraction and say, you know what? Ding dong, You got me. I heard You, and I'm going to do this about what You said. I want to give You that opportunity this morning, this time while we sing. Do business with God the way He wants you to do business with Him. And we'll ask God to have the honor and glory of His invitation today. Father, we ask You to do this in Jesus' name. Amen.